Just days ahead of the G20 summit, when leaders from the world's leading economies will meet in Argentina, tensions are high between Ukraine and Russia. On Sunday, the Russian Coast Guard fired on and seized 3 Ukrainian military vessels and 23 sailors in the Kerch Strait, which separates Crimea from the Russian mainland. On Monday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo called on Russia to return to Ukraine its vessels and detained crew members. Both Russia and Ukraine called for an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council yesterday, where Nikki Haley had this to say.
In May, the United States condemned Russia's construction and opening of the Kerch Strait Bridge between Russia and occupied Crimea. In August, the United States condemned Russia's harassment of international shipping in the Sea of Azov and the Kerch Strait. The United States will continue to stand with the people of Ukraine against the Russian aggression.
Joining us now is Christopher Miller, a correspondent for Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty in Ukraine. He joins us now from Kyiv. Christopher, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So we just heard Nikki Haley's condemnation of these acts, but beyond the rhetoric, how is the U.S. and the rest of the international community responding to this latest development?
Well, it's interesting that you played Nikki Haley first, because she was the most senior Washington official, or U.S. official, rather, to speak out against what is perceived as Russia's aggression against Ukraine. But most of the, well, certainly the quickest statements of condemnation that we heard came from Ukraine's allies in Europe and Canada as well. Europe, I think, has been much more on point in the last couple of years in terms of speaking out strongly and quickly when it comes to Russia's aggression against Ukraine in eastern Ukraine as well as in Crimea.
And are we really looking at, will Russia face any repercussions for this? I mean, like we mentioned, the G20 is a couple days away. Are we thinking about sanctions at this point? What could the penalties be?
Ukraine is certainly hoping that there will be more and stronger sanctions from the U.S. in particular, as well as the EU. We'll have a better sense of whether there are any new sanctions coming down the pike, probably after that G20 meeting. I know that right now this is something that is being mulled in Brussels, but I haven't heard any specifics on what types of sanctions could be imposed. You know, there already have been a slate of sanctions imposed against Russia for the annexation of Crimea and its aggression against Ukraine in eastern Ukraine. But, you know, one of the things that Ukraine has repeatedly asked for are stronger sanctions. We heard actually Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov yesterday, in the wake of the skirmish in the Black Sea near the Kerch Strait, saying, I'll paraphrase, but he said, you know, sanctions, we don't fear sanctions anymore. You know, so that gives you a sense of just how Russia feels as though it can operate with impunity and continue these sort of attacks against Ukraine.
Another thing that we have to keep in mind here is that President Trump is expected to meet with President Putin. Their relationship, as far as the president defines it, is a good one. Will that hurt any attempt at sanctions?
It'll be interesting to see what comes out of that meeting. You know, President Trump has not been particularly strong in his messaging when it comes to Russia's military aggression against Ukraine. You know, his comments yesterday were pretty wishy-washy. He suggested that perhaps both sides might be at fault to some extent. That conflicts with the stronger statements that are coming from Nikki Haley, as we mentioned earlier, and the State Department later on. It'll be interesting to see what does come out of that G20 summit. I don't know whether or not we'll find out many of the details of that meeting. If you look at the Helsinki meeting over the summer, you know, there's a lot that we still don't know about what was discussed between President Trump and President Putin in their one-on-one before their press conference.
Feels like years ago that meeting happened, Christopher. Is Russia posturing here, or is this a real provocation that could lead to deepening conflict and potentially war?
You know, it could be a little of both. You know, Russia has taken similar aggressive steps over the course of more than 4.5 years now when it comes to Ukraine. I think this is yet another test for the international community, right? It just keeps kind of, you know, either taking more ground or attacking in some new way, opening up a new front here in this case. And, you know, at each step of the way, while there have been some sanctions and strong condemnations, you know, I think they feel as though they're able to operate with a certain level of impunity, right? Like I said earlier, you know, Sergei Lavrov's message yesterday didn't really give the sense that Russia was really shaking.
And obviously, this is the latest escalation in a nearly five-year-long conflict. What's the situation been like in the area recently?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in the in eastern Ukraine and going back and forth to and from Kiev. You know, right now in Kiev, things are tense just because of this skirmish. But more or less on a daily basis, you know, people here come and go to work more or less regularly and not thinking, you know, too much about the conflict until there's a flare up. Right, there'll be a report of five dead soldiers or another handful of civilians killed, you know, from an artillery barrage. But you know, you go out to eastern Ukraine and, you know, people still live very much on edge. You know, in some cases, water has been knocked out, power has been knocked out. The temperatures have already, for several weeks now, been below freezing. The humanitarian situation is particularly dire. And while the conflict is more or less simmering on a daily basis and not as hot as it was in 2014 and 2015, you know, there are still artillery duels on an almost daily basis. There are, on average, I think, around two or three soldiers that are killed every two or three days. Not a week goes by that we don't hear about a death.
And what about Ukrainian President Poroshenko? He's up for re-election in March. What does this tell us about him? They have obviously imposed martial law within Ukraine's borders.
That's right. So martial law is set to be imposed tomorrow at 9 a.m. local time, and it's going to cover 10 regions. Within these regions, the government will have greater powers while restricting things like the media, public gatherings, freedom of movement. There will be tighter border controls. These are areas that border Russia or border Crimea or border the breakaway territory in Moldova where Russia has troops. And yes, Poroshenko is up for re-election, and these elections are slated for March 31st. And actually, that was a big issue in getting the martial law decree passed in parliament yesterday. A lot of people saw this as a political move by Poroshenko, who is doing not very well in the polls. And the one thing that Ukrainians do praise him for is rebuilding the country's military and for being a strong commander-in-chief. And so, you know, one of the things that people are critical of here is his ability to use that and potentially use this situation for personal political gain.
Christopher Miller is a correspondent for Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty in Ukraine. Christopher, thank you again for your reporting.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.